our throne, so it gets better. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessings on this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people which we serve.
Amen.
Amen.
Melton City Council acknowledges that land it now occupies has a history that began with the indigenous occupants of Kulin Nation. Council pays its respect to the Kulin Nation people, the elders and descendants, past and present, and all other nationalities that make up our ever-growing community. Thank you. Please be seated. Apologies and leave of absence.
We have an apology this evening from Councillor DeSantis, Mr. Mayor.
Yep. Change it to the order of business.
Okay. Are we on? Yeah, good. I'd like to move a procedural motion that items 13 and 14 on tonight's agenda be heard together, with councillors reporting up to 3 minutes and the mayor up to 5 minutes. I'd also like the notice of motion, item number 15.6, to be heard immediately prior to the staff reports.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey.
I'll second that motion, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey, second by Councillor Hardy. Anybody opposed the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Deputations?
No deputations, Mr. Mayor.
Declaration of pecuniary interest, other interest of conflict of interest of any councillor?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I have a direct conflict of interest pursuant to section 77B on item 12.9, and I will be removing myself from the chamber when that is to be heard.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to declare that I have a conflicting personal interest in agenda item 19.4. under the confidential minutes, and will be moving that I seek to be excused from voting on the matter once the item is presented to Council.
Thank you. I have an indirect interest in 19.5. Adoption of the minutes of previous meeting.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to rise and move the minutes. Sorry, not. Of the ordinary meeting held on the 10th of December 2018 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do you have a seconder?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'll second.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. 7.1, Record of Assembly of Councillors.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that the Record of Assembly of Councillors December 2018 and 29th of January 2019 attached to this agenda received and noted. However, I would like to move that the recommendation that the minutes of the meeting dated 29th of January 2019 be corrected, as I actually declared that I had a conflicting personal interest on agenda item 19.4 under confidential minutes of tonight's meeting, and I actually removed myself from chamber, as well as correcting an error on the agenda items that yourself, Councillor Turner, and Councillor DeSantis declared to reflect that it was in fact agenda item number 19.5, not 12.5.
Thank you. Member Councillor Medick, with these alterations, do you have a seconder?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Councillor Carley. So moved by Councillor Medick, seconded by Councillor Carley. Any councillor opposed?
Actually, could I just seek clarification on that one? Were all those conflicts for 12.5 or were some of them for 12.4?
Councillor Carley's was correct at 12.9. Councillor DeSantis and Councillor Turner's was 19.5. And my conflicting personal interest was item 19.4.
I'll stay again. Moved by Councillor Medlick, seconded by Councillor Carley. Is any councillor opposed? I declare the motion carried. correspondence inwards?
No, Mr. Mayor.
No correspondence inwards. I move to accept. No, I don't have to accept. Petitions and joint letters.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I have a petition here from the Diggers Rest residents to do with the Cradle Road Shopping Precinct requesting a report on seeking if the shopkeepers can have extra parking spaces adjacent to their premise.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. So, move that be accepted by Councillor Mendes. Do you have a seconder?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
No need for a seconder. Thank you. Resumption of debate or other business?
No.
Public question time.
Oops, sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have 19 questions from the public this evening. The first question is from Biliana. Is Biliana in the gallery? If not, just by way of explanation to those who are not familiar with council procedures, a person asking a public question must be in attendance at the meeting in order for the answer to be given at the meeting. Otherwise, a written response only is given following the meeting, and the question is not read out at the meeting. So, again, I just call, is Biliana, and there is no surname, so on the sheet. Okay. The next question is from David O'Connor, and Mr. O'Connor is in the gallery. It reads, an alliance of housing and homeless bodies, charities and social service organisations have united to form the National Everybody's Home campaign. Victoria has the lowest rate of social housing in Australia, with just 3.5% of dwellings being social housing. According to the Alliance, thousands of people are languishing on the streets, in rooming houses, in overcrowded flats, or on friends' couches. The Alliance is campaigning for support for first home buyers, a national housing strategy, a better deal for renters, immediate relief for Australians in chronic rental stress, and a plan to end homelessness by 2030. Recent events demonstrate that Melton City Council understand the importance of advocacy, especially prior to an election. Therefore, will Council commit to joining municipalities like the City of Ballarat and the City of Port Phillip and help support the Everybody's Home Alliance? I'll refer this question to our General Manager Community Services, Maurie Heaney, for a response.
Thank you, Mr. Tory, and thank you, Mr. O'Connor, for your question. As far as Council itself, as Council is not committed as yet to join the campaign, but saying that, Council has Department of Health and Human Services funded homelessness program that we've been managing for a number of years, and that itself is a member of the Western Homeless Network. And saying that, the network has signed up to be part of that partner campaign, so we're well embedded in that work as far as a funded organisation. And Council is committed to providing homelessness services in the way of homeless support in that housing program, and is funded quite a fair bit financially from the state government. So I thank you for your question.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Next question, which is also from Mr. O'Connor, reads... Excuse me. Would Council please provide data with respect to the current at-call hard waste collection service? Excuse me again. In particular, the household participation numbers since its inception, including the breakdown of tip passes issued to residents and the total level of redemption summarised by municipal wards within the City of Melton. So General Manager Luke Shannon will respond.
Thank you, David, for your question. I have some statistics available that I can provide tonight, and some will need to follow in writing as per the normal process. Over the last 3 years, the hard waste collection program, and that's where an appointment is made to have waste collected from an individual property. In the 15-16 financial year, there was 4,265 collections for the year. In 16-17, there was 4,640. And in 17-18, there were 4,925. So you can see from those statistics there's been gradual growth, albeit modest, over those three financial years. In terms of the number of tip passes, and you'll be aware that every property has two tip passes allocated to enable them to go to the recycling facility in the Melton Township or Melton South. I don't have the data immediately available in terms of the usage and uptake over that period available tonight. However, as I said earlier, we'll provide that to you. Thank you.
Next question is from A. McAuliffe, and is Mr. or Mrs. or Miss McAuliffe in the gallery? Again, a written response will be provided in response to the two questions submitted. Next question is from AJ Nair. Is that questioner in the gallery? No. So those two questions will also be responded to in writing. Next question is from Narinda Singh. Is Mr. Singh in the gallery? No. We'll move on to the next question, which is from Stephen Main, and I note Mr. Main is in the gallery. First question is, are councillors aware that since the December 10 Melton Country Club pokies lease decision, the Victorian Government has released the 2018 gambling loss figures, which showed Victorians lost a record $2.726 billion on pokies in Victoria in 2018, a jump of $103 million on 2017. Are the councillors aware that the City of Melton suffered the fastest growing losses of any council area in Melbourne, with a jump of 7.6% to a record $67.8 million in 2018, with the five fastest growing venues being the following: Westwaters Hotel, operated by Hawthorn Football Club, losses up 7% to $13.83 million. Max Hotel, operated by Woolworths, from 10 a.m. until 6 a.m. each day, losses up 11% to $12.2 million. Sugar Gum Hotel, operated by Melbourne Racing Club, losses up 6% to $9.31 million. And Tabcorp Park, operated by Tabcorp, losses up to 13% to $8.39 million. And Melton Country Club, operated by Essendon Football Club, losses up 8% to $5.95 million. Given that the top four venues operate the maximum 20 hours a day permitted under the law, would the councillors consider requiring some responsible trading hours from Essendon Football Club at the Melton Country Club, which is currently trading from 9 a.m. until 3 a.m. most days? That's question one, I guess. I'll read the entirety of questions one and two for completeness. Could the Mayor please clarify the history of the relationship between the Melton Country Club and his not-for-profit group, Gap on Graham, on the following points? One, the history of the Mayor's involvement on the committee of Gap on Graham Incorporated. Two, funding arrangements that have flowed from the Melton Country Club to Gap on Graham Incorporated. Three, the detail of any independent legal advice on the question of whether the Mayor should declare a conflict of interest this evening on matters pertaining to the Melton Country Club lease. In summary, given this past funding relationship between Essendon Football Club and the Gap on Graham, is the Mayor proposing to declare a conflict of interest in the Melton Country Club lease tonight? If not, why not? Does the administration support this decision? So, to go back to the start of the question, Stephen, I guess councillors would now be aware, if they weren't previously aware, having read out the statistics that are contained in your question, They would now be aware of those statistics if they weren't previously. The next part of your question asks whether the councils would consider requiring some adjustment to trading hours to what you call, I think, a more responsible trading hours from Essendon Football Club. There is nothing in the lease at the moment that restricts the hours of operation, nothing in the current lease or in the proposed extension of the lease. The matter is, as you are aware, listed for consideration under a rescission motion this evening, and those matters may well be discussed in the course of that discussion. The situation as far as the lease goes is that, as I said, the existing lease has no restriction on hours in it. It's left to the gaming authorities to monitor the hours of operation. My understanding is the planning permit that goes back many years has no restrictions in that regard either, and that the new council resolved back in March of last year to prepare a new lease in substantially the same terms as the existing lease, and that's the way it was prepared, and that's the way the lease that was the subject of the resolution in the December council meeting is structured. So unless there is a rescission, that is the lease that will go forward. The next question, which is about the Mayor clarifying his history with the gap on Graham, I'll hand over to the Mayor and he can make the comments as he sees appropriate.
I'm one of four office bearers at the gap. We've got a committee of approximately 16. The gap's running 100% by volunteers. Every cent that goes through the gap is spent in the gap and everything else we can raise. A member of the country club approached me in early 2008. That was even before I considered running for council, asking if there was any new projects in the area for youth. We were always wanting to develop our street surfer bus into a bigger project, and we jumped at the chance to present. We did a presentation initially to the Melton Country Club board and then to the Essendon board on an option of changing what was it then, the Melton Street Surfer Youth Bus, into a building-based youth club with cafe, meeting rooms, a hall and boxing gym. We received seed funding of $300,000, which was $100,000 up front for the building to fit the building out, and over 4 years, some funding for the rent, which is $50,000 a year, approximately. The last financial figure we got out of Essendon or the country club was in the year 2013-2014, so it was quite a few years ago. We received that seed funding then. We've no ongoing financial relationship with the Essendon club or the country club. Over the last 4 years, it's been quite tight, but we're still going, thanks to Community Melton. We've got the service clubs support us quite heavily, help us get through with some towards rent, including Rotary, Lions and Zona, but not only them. And also residents now and again put their hand in the pocket and give us a donation. So that's how we run. We don't run on money coming out of Essendon or coming out of the country club. I've taken legal advice, as you asked me to, which states I have no conflict, and I'm happy with that decision. It might be difficult for you to comprehend, but some people do this type of work, not for their own benefit, but for the community. I'd be happy for you to come and have a look at the gap and help us get some funding. Thanks very much, Steve. Cheers.
And finally, you asked what the administration's view is, and essentially in matters of conflict of interest, the administration's view is irrelevant. It is, as was determined in the Winky Pop decision, it is a matter for each individual councillor to consider and determine in their own circumstances. Of course, if we're requested to assist the councillor in working through the issues, we do that. And in this case, we obtained for the mayor some legal advice external to the organisation. And so, you know, that's basically what we've done to assist the mayor in formulating his position on this matter. So I think that answers the entirety of the question. The next question is from Alan Fairweather. Mr. Fairweather joined us this evening. Yes, he has. He asks, when will council move with other councils in the area to declare Indian minor birds as vermin because of all the damage they do to nesting native birds? And Mr. Luke Shannon is going to respond.
Thanks, Alan, for your question. I'm certainly aware that minor birds are quite a pest and they can do a significant amount of damage. They're obviously an exotic species within Australia, so they're not indigenous to Australia. And they are acknowledged widely as being a pest species, although they are not listed as a noxious species under the Victorian Catchment and Land Protection Act, and that's where the relevant authority lies. Council, to my knowledge, has no authority or power in which to declare an animal such as that as a pest or vermin. Rather, it's done at a state government level. Thank you.
The next question is also from Alan. And in this context, we have three questions on the same subject, so I do propose to read out the three questions and then have Mr. Shannon give a overall response on those three questions. So the questions are from Alan Fairweather, Stuart Fairweather. Is Stuart in the gallery? No. And Yvonne Barker? No. Okay. I'll just read your question out, Alan, and I think it covers the subject of the other two anyway. When is council going to rectify their poor engineering decision of placing a speed hump in Kurrenjang Drive, which is the through road at the corner of Mowbray Crescent? I have had five vehicles pull out in front of me when I have slowed for the speed hump. This is very dangerous. So, again, Luke Shannon will respond.
Thank you, Alan, for your question. I think I recall you might have raised this at a meeting later last year, and you may recall that subsequent advice was that the speed cushion had been installed in October of last year. The reason our engineers proposed and subsequently installed a speed cushion in Kurrenjang Drive was due to the fact of speeding vehicles around a slight bend in the road, which presented significant dangers to drivers of cars exiting Mowbray Crescent, which is at a stop at an T-intersection. Mowbray Crescent intersects with Kurrenjang Drive. So the purpose of the speed hump was to slow traffic down in Kurrenjang Drive to enable, as I said, cars to exit safely from Mowbray Crescent. And it's obviously a location where there are two schools in close proximity, so it's heavily trafficked, particularly at peak times, as you well know. I'm aware that putting a speed hump at a location close to an intersection is unusual. I did view it as recently as today, and it was certainly very effective in slowing cars down on Kurrenjang Drive, which is, as you point out, the through road, but it has been quite effective in that regard. The intent of installing the cushion was really as a trial to observe whether it reduced the issues of crashes or near misses at that intersection, which have been a real issue over time. That observation will continue over the next 2 to 3 months, and then we'll make a decision as to whether the speed hump, which is only a spike down speed hump, so a temporary one, is removed and relocated or alternatively remains. Thank you.
The next question is from Anna Bardsley, who's also in the gallery. Question one reads, my name is Anna Bardsley and I'm a parent of two Melton residents and a reformed pokies addict who during the worst periods of my addiction would gamble until the closing time of various Melton pokey venues in the middle of the night. Are the councillors aware that the Melton Country Club extended its trading hours last September until 3 a.m. in the morning on Monday and Tuesday night? Is this regarded as responsible service of gambling practice, and are the councillors aware the gambling losses in the Melton Country Club jumped by 8% in 2016 to 5.95 million. Would the councillors consider revising the terms of the lease and shortening the trading hours to reduce community harm? And the second question is, have the councillors received any correspondence from the new member for Melton in the State Parliament, Steve McGee, on the question of the Essendon Pokies lease? What did it say, and are they going to act on it in order to reduce gambling harm in the Melton community? The response to question one is really very similar to the response to Stephen Main's earlier question. I guess councillors are aware, certainly, of the extended trading hours and we'll be debating the rescission motion shortly after it was brought forward in tonight's agenda. Therefore, you know, any discussion from councillors about whether they would consider revising trading hours perhaps will come out in that debate. The second question, yes, council did receive correspondence addressed to Mayor and councillors from Stephen McGee, who is the recently elected member for Melton, and I'm happy to read that correspondence out. It reads, Dear Mayor and councillors, I recently met with Anna Bardsley and Stephen Main from the Alliance for Gambling Reform. After listening to their position, I do support the idea of making some modest changes to the Melton Country Club lease proposal, which was approved at the December 10 council meeting. Whilst it is important to protect jobs and also acknowledge the benefits which flow to community groups like the Melton RSL, I believe some modest reforms, such as reduced trading hours, are warranted in these circumstances. I am personally uncomfortable with the Melton Country Club trading until 3 a.m. most nights of the week, and also note with concern that losses at the venue jumped by 8% to $5.95 million in 2018, coinciding with an expansion of trading hours in September. VCGLR figures released last week show that the City of Melton has the fastest growing pokie losses in metropolitan Melbourne in 2018, jumping 7.6% to a record $67.82 million. Therefore, I would encourage you to reconsider the previous decision by the Council and authorise officers to enter into negotiations with Essendon Football Club to come up with new lease terms and an operating model which will be less harmful. Yours sincerely, Steve McGee, State Member for Melton. So, that's the correspondence in full, and that was circulated to all councillors following its receipt. The next question is from Marima and Mario Cascia, and in the gallery. So it's a very long question, Mr. Cascia, and I think in essence, the first question relates very much to affordable housing and what can be done in order to reduce the cost of housing to both to purchasers and to renters, as I understand it, and then goes on to make reference to your concept of rent affordable housing in the Clarks Road PSP area.
And that's, yes. We were worried they might say, look, this has been passed here, so yep. Because it's really the other people, the other part, the CG99 is the main push of everything, and then the new PSP that will come up from that.
Yeah, and I understand. So I understand that all relates to the
Mario, please let Mr. Torrey
to the PSP work that's currently in proposal, I guess. It hasn't commenced yet, but it's a proposal going forward.
I'm worried about they might pass something in the C200 and say, look, this has been done, you can't
turn it back.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So C2, as I understand it, you made a submission on C200 and you are happy with the outcome?
Yes, very
good. Yes, So I guess the response to your questions is really that you need to keep liaising and talking to the planning department and to the VPA and DELWIP around all those issues on that area of land that's adjacent to Clark's Road.
Yes, because the other people wanted
to... I realise there are four other landowners four in total, that are involved in that PSP proposal. Yeah, and I do note that in your question you seek council support when the PSP does come along, and we'll work along. Yeah, no worries. And that concludes public questions, Mr.
Thank
Mayor.
Thank you, Mario. Thank you, Mr. Tory.
Mr. Mayor, could I ask, could I just get an indication of how many people that are in the gallery this evening are here for the Melton Country Club issue? Actually, it might be better if those that aren't here for the Melton Club issue put their hands up. And who's a first timer to council? Sorry,
Councillor Ramsey. Let's move on, please. Come on. Presentation of staff reports. We're going to bring forward. Item 15.6 brought forward. Councillor Bushy.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, that Council formally rescind the resolution of Council adopted at the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 10th of December 2018 at item 12.3, Lease Melton Country Club. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy. Moved by Councillor Bushy. Do I have a seconder?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to second that. I'd like to hear what Councillor Bushy's views are on this matter, as he was absent on the 10th of December when this was held. This was here.
Thank you. Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? Okay, we're going to debate.
Mr. Mayor, can I just ask for the motion to be put, please?
You can.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor. The rescission has already been said.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, Councillor Bushy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
First say.
Mr. Mayor and councillors, if my motion to rescind 12.3 is carried tonight, I'd like to foreshadow a notice of motion for the next council meeting that protects jobs for the hard-working staff at the venue and ensures that the existing user groups such as the Melton RSL can continue to use the facility and operate in the same way they do now. Mr. Mayor, the notice of motion will also show that we're serious about good governance and trying to reduce gambling harm in our community. My notice of motion would read as follows, that council officers enter into further discussions with the Melton Country Club management and include the following provisions in a future lease agreement. Reduced trading hours, no pokies trading 1 a.m. and 9 a.m, so a mandatory 8-hour shutdown each day. Reduce lease term from the expiry of the current lease in 2022, an extension for a further 10 years until 2032. Commit to no more poker machines for the life of the new lease agreement, regardless of population growth in the municipality. That Essendon agree to City of Melton councillor representation on their community benefits program. This compromise would represent some modest changes to the existing agreement and would show that we've been listening to the other side of the argument and sympathetic to the stories of addiction and harm in the community, with the highest per capita gambling spend in the world, in which pokies comprise almost 60% of the $24 billion lost annually to gambling. I acknowledge the victims of poker machine addictions who have presented to council, including Anna, who's in the gallery tonight, and ask those questions we heard this evening. Most of the seven Melton pokies venues operate the maximum 20 hours a day, closing at 4, 5 and even 6 in the morning in the case of the Woolworths-controlled Max Hotel on High Street in Melton. As the gambling reform campaigner Tim Costello has argued many times, nothing good is happening at 3 in the morning in a pokies venue. It was most unfortunate that our tenant at the council-owned Melton Country Club chose to extend its operating hours last September from 1 a.m. on Monday and Tuesday night to 3 a.m. And this contributed to an 8% jump in losses to $5.95 million in 2018, making the Melton Country Club 170th out of the 493 Victorian pokies venues in terms of annual gambler losses. It is not responsible offering a pokies service until 3 a.m. on council land. As a landowner for this venue, we can use our influence to require an 8-hour break from gambling between 1 a.m. and 9 a.m. each day, which is what my notice of motion will be proposing if my council colleagues, support the rescission motion tonight. If we do this, councillors, it will kickstart an important debate about reduced pokies trading hours at other venues and potentially across the state through legislative change. The other key changes will be a reduction in the proposed lease term from 29 years to 10 years. It is just not right that this group of councillors lock in the next seven councils to such a long-term pokies lease. Who else gets a 29-year lease like this? Councillors, 10 years is sufficient. Councillor, statistics released last month show that the City of Melton suffered the fastest growing pokies losses of any council in Melbourne in 2018, a jump of 7.6% to a record $67.8 million. This compares with 2017-18 Melton rates revenue of $105 million. This is hurting vulnerable citizens, including veterans, whose studies have shown suffer above average levels of harm from gambling addiction. I know this because I work with Veterans Group. I'm the national organiser for the Department of Veterans Affairs, and I get to meet with veterans groups, and I know about the harm that it causes in veterans. We are a rapidly changing and growing community and need to retain flexibility over our property assets to manage this growth. We also need to be a responsible landlord. So, councillors, the process I'm asking you to consider tonight is to rescind the decision from last December so we can tweak the proposal, allow job security for the hardworking Melton staff, at the country club and come up with a more responsible arrangement without costing jobs or imperiling the funding of community groups. That is so important. I look forward to councillors supporting what would be a sensible compromise in a very difficult situation. Thank you, Mr. Mann. Thank you, councillors.
Good timing, Councillor Ricci. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In regards to a rescission motion, I think it's a little bit silly to be having one, seeing in December there was eight out of eight councillors unanimously supported to put it away. And I understand why Councillor Bushy wasn't present. He had pressing family arrangements. But when it comes down to a rescission motion, that means last month, in December, when I tried to speak for a minute, I was almost told not to because we didn't want to make it bigger than Ben-Hur. But that's 50 families that were absolutely put through stress and for the last 4 months whilst this has been on the books. It's 50 families, not only their work colleagues, their kids, that have been put on hold whilst we made a decision. Then we made a decision and 2 days later a rescission motion, which is his right, was put in place. Now, at the end of the day, this Melton Country Club got the lease at a time when commissioners were in power. They were the council of the time, so let's be fair. There are 50 local jobs. I know there could be other jobs, but the building isn't fit for purpose for anything else. So at the end of the day, I apologise to the staff, to your families, to the RSL and to everybody else for the last 4 months having to turn out to council meetings time and time again, once before Christmas and once in early February, just to hear the same thing again. Thank you for the hard work that you do for our community. I know losses are there, but whether the Melton Country Club whether the Eston Football Club own it or some other organisation own it, those machines are still going to be there and the losses are going to be there. What we need to do as a council is strengthen our gaming policy. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I did vote on the 10th of December and I agreed with the lease agreement, but I also thought that it was only fair that Councillor Ibushi was given the opportunity to speak, especially about something so important and dear and close to Councillor Ibushi. When Councillor Ramsay is speaking about jobs, in the amendment or the foreshadowed motion that I heard Councillor Ibushi state, there was nothing in there that said that our Melton residents were going to lose their jobs. He still included that. He only specifically spoke about, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Councillor Ibushi, but it was about the hours of operation and to say no to no more pokie machines while the lease is continuing. And also, not only that, it was just, I guess, we've got a 29-year lease now, but he's saying, OK, well, it's not up for another 2 years. Let's just give them another 10 years. That's 12 years of people's jobs that are secure. He didn't say anything about people not going out and having jobs. And, you know, I respect Councillor Ibushi for actually getting up and saying his point, because I know it is a difficult item to discuss, but I respect him for expressing his views. And as councillors, you know, Councillor Ramsay as well as I do, we might not necessarily always get along, but we need to respect each other's decisions.
Thank you, Councillor Carlin. Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. What has been put to the community through the papers, through the advocacy of Councillor Ibushi and also recent correspondence to councillors, has been done on the back end of no consultation with the Melton Club, the Essendon Club, other parties, the RSL, or anybody else. I really do find that a bit strange. And for council to advocate that we know best by adopting a process to reduce the hours, the contract positions, the terms, and it's going to have no effect on jobs, I get news for you. I'm in the business. I have a business. I know that will affect. I know it will impact. Yes, there is a way forward to take up the conversations with the Essendon Club on what is in everybody's interest. I'm quite sure Essendon and the Melton Club would take those conversations. But what business needs, and it's always out there, is surety. Surety to what they're going to do. You can't have a business going and putting millions of dollars forward and buying their licences off a state government, by the way, off a state government whose members are advocating, oh, it's not good, but they're selling the licences. But at the end of the day, when businesses do that, they need to have surety that they do get their money. Two, that it's not, let's say, it's not in conflict with the community. So as I said, Mr. Mayor, when this is all done and dusted, I think there is a way forward to take conversations with the relevant participants at the Melton Club and get a better outcome, but not in the contract term, but as a voluntary basis. I think that's quite able, and from conversations I've had, I'm quite sure there's not too much resistance in that area. But it's simply on a voluntary basis. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Ibushi, you'd like to sum up?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to speak.
You wish to speak?
Yes, please. Mr. Mayor, I was one of the councillors that supported the issue in December, and the reason being that I supported it was I was extremely concerned of the local jobs that were involved, potentially locals that might lose their jobs. However, the amended or the proposed the foreshadowed notice of motion that Councillor Ibushi has put forward really, there is a lot of merit to revisit the matter. When listening to Councillor Boucher, and he did mention what he was proposing to do to all councillors a little while back via email for us to have a look at, I believe that what he's proposing is that all this council is doing is having greater safety measures that this council can take towards its residents. It's not saying, let's close it down. It's not even actually saying, after 10 years, let's close it down. After 10 years, they can reapply like what they're doing now. It's making sure that residents don't lose their jobs that are working in that area. Rescinding does not mean refusing the lease altogether. It's securing a better outcome for our community and our community's facility. It is preserving the jobs. The 29-year lease should not be taken lightly, and the fact that we're actually revisiting this proves to our residents that I'm not taking this lightly. And it's every right for Councillor Abushi to rescind if he feels that the decision, there would be more information made in this decision. And new information did come to this council through the Gambling Alliance, and I thank them for bringing forward their issues and their consideration points, I guess, for this matter. I really believe that just looking at and revisiting, potentially just changing small details to the lease, as what Councillor Hardy said, he's in this business, but I'm not sure, Councillor Hardy, which worker of yours is working from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. So that is a little bit baffling to me. So, you know, just making that small amendment, the 1 a.m. to 3 a.m., people aren't going to be losing their jobs for that. It'll make a safer place for our residents. And the RSL, they're not using the facility, I'm sure, from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. It is, as the Gambling Alliance mentioned, a dangerous ground for problematic or potentially problematic issues arising for our residents. I'm just pleading with the councillors, please just let's revisit this issue. Let's see if we can come a little bit better an outcome for this community to make it safer and to preserve the jobs.
You're over time. Thank you. Does any other councillor wish to speak? Councillor Mendes.
I understand where you're coming from, Councillor Abushi, and I commend you for trying to come up with a rescission motion. And I think what we're all trying to say here is that it would be great to see if we can achieve an even balance between the Country Club and the Gambling Alliance. I, as a long-term resident, want to support the Country Club as much as I can, as I'm sure all do, our councillors do, and I'm sure Councillor Abushi does as well. The saving of 50 jobs is also important, but it's also important to look at the other side of the coin as well and understand that the gambling losses in that facility have increased. So I think it would be really important for us to know as councillors to consider looking at this picture from both points of view and having a really good think about whether we need to take it back to and rescind our motion from December. This Country Club has got a great facility, function rooms that no other facility in the City of Melton, I believe, provides. The staff are absolutely magnificent. They would wait on you, beck and call. They will do anything for you. I've witnessed it firsthand. I don't believe that the pokies in that venue is as significant as people make it out to be. I apologise if that's incorrect. However, that's how I feel. That venue has been there for many, many years servicing the football clubs, the RSL, and you only have to go in there on an Anzac Day and watch the wonderful feeling amongst the community. It's well serviced on that day by many, many, many people of the community, old and new. I don't want to see it lost in any shape or form. I do want to see the jobs maintained because those people, they need that place, not just for their jobs, it's like their second home, if not their first home. You only have to look from newspaper articles that I've collected here. You've got some people that have been employed there for over 20 years. So it's a significant venue, and I really hope that tonight we can reach a decision that's amicable to all parties.
Does any other councillor wish to speak?
Can I sum up, please?
You have 2 minutes to sum up.
Yep, thank you. I'm not stuck on these points. I just want us to be able to go back as a responsible council and look at what we can do about a proposed lease and tweak it so that even the smallest bit of harm reduction is a win for our community. I'm not stuck on these points at all. I just had to present something forward to get the dialogue and the conversation happening amongst councillors. So I'm happy for any councillor to make further amendments, changes, if it was to lay on the table so we can go back and revisit the lease. I'm happy for all of that. But what's important to me is that we look at reducing the harm in our community, and I don't want to be a councillor that has locked in gambling on our facility for another 29 years. That is not the mantle. I don't want my kids to grow up and think, Dad, you were part of this. You made this decision. I don't want that. Not for me, not for my family, and not for my community. So I urge you to really think about what you can do by committing a vote to rescind, if that's what you feel, so we can go back to the table and we can talk like mature adults about the future of our municipality in this regard. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Okay, 15.6, moved by Councillor Debussy, seconded by Councillor Carley. All those in favour of the motion? All those against the motion? Four. I use my casting vote against the motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to call a division, please.
All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Carley, Councillor Debussy, Councillor Malik, Councillor Mendes. All those in favour of the motion? Against the motion, sorry. Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Turner, and all for the casting vote. I declare the motion lost. 12.3.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, could I just move in block items 12.1 and 12.2 and accept officers' recommendation as per the reports outlined?
Thank you,
Councillor
Malik.
I'll second that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Malik, seconded by Councillor Carley.
Mr. Mayor, did I not get the memo? Are we supposed to stand to talk, or are we allowed to sit?
We're trial in this room a bit different, I think.
Okay.
Sure.
So we're not standing, we're all sitting?
We'll discuss it at the next meeting. We'll have people feel.
That's fine.
I don't think MD stood up tonight so far.
I have.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Okay, moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by... moved by Councillor Malik, seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose? I declare the motion carried. Item 12.3, response notice motion 546, Councillor Carley, investigation of parking opportunities within an adjacent Bloomsbury Drive reserve.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the recommendation just with a slight amendment. And an extra dot point, that Council note the car parking options available in the vicinity of Taylors Hill Primary School and the YMCA Centre, and prepare a parking management brochure for use by the school and YMCA, indicating where available parking exists in the surrounding road network. And two, Mr. Mayor, that we refer the matter to the 2019-2020 budget discussions for consideration.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Moved by Councillor Carley. Do I have a seconder?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Debussy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. 12.4. Response to notice motion 575. Explore options to extend the Brookside Pavilion. Mr. Heaney?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report was subject to a notice of motion, which was 575, tabled at the council meeting some time ago in August, and it was tabled by Councillor Debussy. And the motion read that officers, in consultation with existing users, explore options to extend the Brookside Pavilion that would provide additional space to cater for current high volume of users and plan for an expected growth in the number of users in the future, that a report and recommendations and options be brought back to Council. So that's the purpose tonight, Mr. Mayor, councillors. So I'll just work through it. The Brookside Rec Reserve is a rec reserve probably about 2K from where we are. It was originally constructed as part of the Caroline Springs development, what was known at the time as Stage 1. At that point in time, it had a main recreational reserve and a small playing space. And just to give you some history on that before I go into the detail of the pavilion extension, because it's worth noting the background, that it was in the intention at the time that that be a tennis precinct, so you have a number of tennis courts on that site. So the original pavilion was never designed for soccer use as such. It was designed purposely for tennis until such time we constructed the major tennis facility at Caroline Springs, which obviously we've just about completed. In over that time, there was drought relief money that came from the federal government, and some councils would be aware that that dealt with playing surfaces. So the drought obviously put pressure on councils' playing surfaces, and this council was successful in obtaining a number of playing surfaces or federal government money to place those playing surfaces around the municipality, of which Brookside was one option. Springside was another option, and Kurrenjang, I think from memory, was the other option, which we did, and then come on more soccer. So that's a bit of history to it, but officers have done a piece of work as far as the Brookside facility. It has had one or two major extensions already on that site. It is the home, I suppose, of the Westside Strikers, and the club itself has been advocating to officers, and I believe councils about its use and its expansion of the club itself. We have taken into account and consulted with the club. Our club also, I believe, have put in a budget submission, I think, on the intent of for council to consider that as part of its budget deliberations. When looking at the site, we just looked at the building extension. We didn't look at taking out any of the existing infrastructure on that site, i.e. the tennis courts. That was important to leave that because that will be a community in that site. The purpose was to look at the social space, the change rooms and multi-purpose facilities that caters for, which we did, and look at increasing, where possible, the capacity of that social space. So we have had about two goes at this facility. The figures that is talked about in this report is around about $1.3 million, which is looking at extending the social room of about 70 square metres to about 120. There is an appended document, councillors, for your interest, if you wish to look at that, that shows a facility of what we're proposing, if this is ever funded. This is not in the Capital Works program, just so you note, but it also is a subject of, as I said, the community submission from that club, so it will be discussed at the point in time with our council and the executive on the 2nd of March, I think it is. So really that's the background to the notice of motion and the intent. I hope we've delivered it, and really the recommendation from councils is to note this report, seeing that it will go to the budget submissions anyway for discussion.
Mr Mayor, I'd like to move an alternate recommendation, if that's OK.
Go ahead,
That council note this report and refer to the 2019-2020 budget deliberations, please.
Thank you, Councillor Bushy.
Happy to second that, Mr Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor oppose the motion?
Could I seek clarification, Mr Mayor?
Sure.
I'll refer to the officers, or whichever officer, possibly Mr Heaney, I'd say. The standard size for pavilions or rooms in most of our centres, are they roughly the same?
It varies depending on how many clubs utilise those. And remember, a lot of our facilities now are community, they're community access facilities, so they're sports pavilions, but they're also booked out for community spaces. So they vary in size, as this one is.
Would most of them be around the 70 square metre mark? Or would they
probably larger.
Probably larger.
Remember, the intent of this facility was a tennis, originally a tennis, yeah. So probably larger, Councillor Ramsey. Yeah.
Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. I'd just like to add something to Councillor Ramsey's question. If you've ever been out to Brookside Pavilion, you'll see that it is absolutely tiny. Mm. And for a club like Westside Strikers to operate out of there is ridiculous, really. So I'm looking forward for this to come to our budget discussions.
Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the declare the motion carried.
12.5. Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to thank Mr. Heaney for his... there's been lots of iterations of this report to get it absolutely right, and I'd like to thank you and your team for the hard work you've put into developing this report, and the wonderful committee of management at the Westside Strikers. Thank you for coming out tonight.
Item 12.5, response to notice motion 587, options and costings to extend cricket nets at Burnside Heights Recreation Reserve.
It is Mr. Mayor.
Can I just move an alternate recommendation, Mr. Mayor, at this point? Is that okay?
Yes.
Yep. Mr. Mayor, that Council note the report and refer to the 2019-20 budget deliberations, please.
Alternate move by Councillor Ibushi. Do I have a seconder?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Second by Councillor Medlick. Does any Councillor oppose? I declare the motion carried. 12.6. Sponsor notes motion 593.
Mr. Mayor, can I?
Carry on.
Sorry. Just get them out of the way. It's in the same way as the two previous reports, I'd like to recommend an alternate that Council note the report and refer to the 2019 budget deliberations, please.
Moved by Councillor Bush. You'd have a seconder.
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Can I seek clarification,
Councillor
Medley?
Yes.
I believe there was an order of facilities right across the city of Melton for family-friendly change rooms. Sorry?
This is it.
This is it? Yep. So this is the next one on that list? That's fine then.
Okay, moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any Councillor oppose? All those... I declare the motion carried. Item 12.7, response notice motion 596. Councillor Kissage, placement location of Australian citizenship ceremonies in appropriate venues within the municipality of Melton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report, as you've just mentioned, is to respond to notes of motion 596 from Councillor Kissage, who's asked us to look at appropriate venues within the Melton municipality for Australian citizenship ceremonies. Citizenship ceremonies are, of course, the last stage of a process by which a candidate becomes an Australian citizen. As at the 4th of January, so a month ago, the waiting list for candidates in the city of Melton was 423. And that number was not including the 180 people that we conferred citizenship on at Australia Day. There are, to deal with those numbers, and bearing in mind we have to put people through within 3 to 6 months of them receiving approval from the Department of Home Affairs, we have to have, at this stage, 12 ceremonies at the Melton Community Hall, where we confer citizenship on between 80 and 90 at each ceremony. And the ceremonies that are currently scheduled are set out on pages 97 and 98 of the agenda. Whilst we were asked to look at all venues within the municipality, we've... Is that the incorrect page?
Oh,
96 and 97, apologies, possibly because I've made notes on the screen. Whilst we were asked to look at all venues in the municipality, we've only considered council-owned venues, and this is in accordance with the Australian Citizenship Ceremonies Code, which basically says that commercial enterprises are inappropriate for citizenship ceremonies to be held. And we also note the extra cost of hiring venues and the logistical difficulties of using a venue other than a council-owned one. So with that said, the only appropriate venue is indeed the one we are all seated in tonight, the Burnside Community Hall, which has seating capacity currently for 80 and possibly another 40 as we're in the process of acquiring some stackable chairs. So with an eventual capacity of 120, the venue could accommodate a maximum of 40 conferees and their guests. And as I said earlier, this is to be compared with the 80 or 90 that can be conferred at the Melton Community Hall. So in comparing the two, the number of conferees is the main consideration, and that, of course, means that we have to have less ceremonies overall. To have it here, we would need double the amount of ceremonies that we currently have. And each ceremony comes at a cost of approximately $2,700, which doesn't really change with the amount of people in attendance. Having fewer ceremonies means also that the presiding officer doesn't have to preside over as many, and the presiding officer is, of course, the mayor. And just finally, it's worth noting that at the community hall, there's quite a ceremonial feel. There's a main stage. It allows for flags, the Queen. We have plants, lighting. It's actually quite... I don't know if you've ever been to a ceremony. It's actually quite beautiful to see. And that the car parking spaces at the Melton Community Centre are many in number and include street parking. And finally, I wanted to note that we don't have any control over where or when candidates are listed. So I think it was suggested that if there was two options for ceremonies, a candidate could choose between coming here or going to Melton. But in fact, they're just listed for the next ceremony. So indeed, if a ceremony was held here, it might be that people have to come from Melton. So there's essentially no choice. You just get listed for the next ceremony. And just to round it off, to say that there, you know, you only attend one ceremony in your life. In terms of financial considerations, I think I've already covered them. Risk analysis, we would have to conduct a risk assessment of having that many people in this building to ensure that there was sufficient ingress and egress, particularly in the event of an emergency. So with all that said, the recommendation is, as set out at the beginning of the report, I'm just scrolling up, that apart from citizenship ceremonies conducted on Australia Day, the Melton Community Hall continue to be the venue for the conduct of citizenship ceremonies. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Daniel. Moved by Councillor Kesich. Oh, sorry, I haven't done that yet. Any questions? Yeah, you're right. Any clarification, councillors, before I let Councillor Kesich free? I've written it down. No? Okay, can I have a mover for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to move as is said.
Thank you. Councillor Kesich. Do you have a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor. And Councillor Kesich, you don't need to stand up.
Seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. 12.8, Planning Scheme Amendment C170, Development Plan Overlay.
Mr. Mayor, can I move that the motion or the recommendation be accepted as per officer's recommendation?
Move.
Testing.
Move by Councillor Medlick.
And could I second it?
And seconded by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose? Declare the motion carried. 12.9.
Mr. Mayor. If I could just, like I stated before, that I'd like to declare I have a direct conflict of interest pursuant to Section 77B, so I will remove myself.
Very good.
Mr. Mayor, can I move an alternate recommendation to that the officers are recommending? Can I move that Council defer consideration of this request for extension of time until after the applicants have had an opportunity to brief Council on the proposal and future plans for the land, please?
Down the motion, moved by Councillor Bushy.
I would like to second it.
Seconded for the motion. Move by alternate move by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor oppose?
I oppose it, Mr. Mayor. I don't particularly want to go into debate.
Opposed by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor wish to speak on the issue? The alternate motion. All those in favour of the motion?
To defer it.
To defer it. All those against? Councillor Ramsey. Could I declare that motion carried?
Could I call for a division, Mr.
Division,
Chair?
Division called.
Just beat me to it.
All those in favour? Councillor Bushy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Melick, Councillor Mendez, Councillor Turner. Against, Councillor Ramsay. I declare the alternate motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, can I have it noted that at 8 o'clock we only had one new person in there?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You've got a flyer to try it. It's nice and peaceful, isn't it? 12:10. Item 12:10, contract number 19/016, construction of Ainsbury Recreation Reserve. Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This relates to, obviously, awarding of a contract to commence works at the Ainsbury Recreation Reserve, which is now a paddock, and this refers to the contract as contract number 1A. So the tenders that have been out to the market for expressions of interest and through our tender process is to proceed with the design and awarding a contract for 1A, which is the main oval of the Rec Reserve, and a large amount of earthworks and some perimeter ball fencing, etc. There is a future contract, so Council is aware, is called, will be titled Contract 1B, and that will be advertised in the coming months. So in short, obviously Ainsbury Rec Reserve is a reserve that has been formed part of a developer contribution, and Council in its funding initiatives have sought funding from the federal government and the state government. And I'm pleased to say that's noted on page 149, you'll see a graph or a table there, sorry, that shows you the developer contributions that will come towards this site, which is around about $4 million. State government funding through the growing suburbs fund that officers have secured and presented to council of over $2 million, and the federal government's Building Better Regions fund, which we're really proud of $2.8 million. So over $4 million of government money secured to commence this site. Stage 1B will be the completion of that first stage of the reserve, which will be the pavilion, light towers, etc., and associated works. The contract that we're putting to you this evening has been through our evaluation process. It is recommended, councillors, that we award this contract known as 1A to ACE Contractors for the sum of $2.685 million and a couple of cents, excluding GST, and that is subject to the land being transferred to council's ownership. Important to note for the gallery and the councils that that is in a process at the moment. We expect that to be completed within coming days, if not a week. So that's why we have the subject to that happening. If it doesn't happen, the project obviously won't commence till it does. So that's it, Mr. Mayor. At least it'll create activation at Ainsbury Rec Reserve, and for the ward councils and the council, it's been some time and that community's been waiting for this to occur. So once we award this and we get the ownership of the land, construction will commence. Thank you, Mr.
Mr. Heaney, good news. Councillors, do you have a mover for the motion, please?
I'd like to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Ramsay. Do you have a seconder?
I second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Mendes. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Item 12.11, provision of acoustic fencing for lots in the Silverdale Estate abutting the Western Freeway. Mr. Shannon?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, if I could just have the report put or the recommendation put, because we had a vote on this. Is this just for background information? Thank you.
Yeah, you're moving it, Councillor Ramsay?
Yep.
As put?
Yep.
Moved by Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second it, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Mendes. Does any councillor oppose?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I'm not going to oppose, but I just wanted clarification.
Yep.
It's actually for a report that was in confidential minutes. There's something wrong with my microphone.
And now it has.
To come to the public forum. So it's not technically background information. It's just to clarify. It's from confidential minutes to open in public.
Yep. So we'd move by Councillor Ramsey's. Well, we've done it already. We've done it, yeah. We're going to do it again.
Point of clarification.
Yeah, that's fine.
Did we actually take the votes, to me?
Didn't we put it to the vote? I thought. Does any council oppose the motion? I declare it carried.
Could I ask for a division, Mr. Mayor?
Division called on that motion, 12-11. Okay, all those in favour of the motion? Councillor Carley, Councillor Bushy, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Midlick, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner. I declare the motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. Items 13 and 14, reports from delegates appointed to other bodies, and council representation and acknowledgement. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, firstly, can I just say thank you to all our residents who have attended this evening, and welcome back for 2019. It's actually pretty short for me, Mr. Mayor. I attended the Australia Day celebration at the Willows, where we had 180 new citizens welcomed into our wonderful community. And if I could just also take this moment just to remind all the members of the gallery about the Somersault Festival that will be happening this coming Saturday on the 9th of February. It's going to be tonight, so it will be great if you could all be there. That's all.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Bushy.
Can you skip me for a second, please, Mr. Mayor? Thanks.
How many seconds do you need? Do you need to charge your computer?
No, just got to find my notes.
Okay. Councillor Ramsey, would you like to go first?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Apart from Blacks, apart from Australia Day and attending that, I just wanted to welcome everybody back. Happy New Year. I want to mention Black Saturday and what's happening at Government House as we speak. The 10-year anniversary of Black Saturday hit Victoria hard. 173 people died and 414 people were injured. It started on February the 7th, but what a lot of people don't realise, it went for over 6 weeks, well into March. It's the highest ever loss from a bushfire. Whole towns were wiped out. Millions of acres destroyed. So in today, on the, what is it, the 4th of February, we sit here, we've had really hot weather of late. There are fires burning. Please give a thought to the families and the firefighters that are struggling at the moment with current bushfires, but also to the elderly and those socially isolated in their homes. On hot days, please take the time to give people a call, if you know they're on their own, just to make sure that if they need anything, they've got someone that cares enough to give them a call. So beyond that, please stay safe. We're in for another couple of turbulent months, and I just wish all the emergency services well, because it's been a hell of a start to 2019. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Bushy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Firstly, Happy New Year to everyone and all those in the gallery tonight. Good to be back in action, though it's been a very busy couple of months for me anyway. I'd like to also formally welcome our newest Australians in the City of Melton who took an oath on Australia Day. And I also attended the Football Empowerment African Nations Cup with yourself, Mr. Mayor, on Monday the 28th of January at Kurrinjang Recreation Reserve. And it was fantastic to see all different nations represented from Africa playing soccer all day. It was just amazing to see a concentration of the beautiful African culture. Not only did they play games, but they had dance-offs, they had music, African music from different parts of Africa, and they were all versing each other out on the lawn. And we had an opportunity to, myself and Mr. Mayor, go around to all the different teams. And, you know, it was a South Sudan team, it was a... what was the other team, Mr. Mayor? A Sudan team, a South Sudan team, and there was the other...
You're telling the story.
I've just forgotten. There were many African nations, but and I went between all of them because I don't get to practice my Arabic often anymore. So I went to every group and just to test to see whether they speak Arabic.
You mixed every one of them up.
Yeah, I did, but it was a good experience and it was a fantastic day and it was good for Councillor Turner and I to show support for the African community in the city of Melton. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Kasich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to be short. Just want to welcome all of you back and Happy New Year. And also I would like to congratulate our resident and my dear friend, Hallelujah, Gabriel Selassie, on receiving Order of Australia. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Gordon. Would you like to move a motion that we write a letter of congratulations on council official letterhead?
Mr. Mayor, I would be very happy to do that.
Are you going to move it?
I think he is.
Move by Councillor Kasich to have a second.
And I'd like to second
that. Seconded by Councillor Ramsay.
Thank you.
Anybody opposing the motion? Declare it carried. Councillor Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, since the last meeting in December, my highlight was the opening of Westwood Drive Bridge, finally. It was long awaited, a very important piece of infrastructure. Every time I drive on it, I've got a smile on my face. The weather was drab, but it certainly did not dampen any of those who attended. It did not dampen our spirits. Thank you to the council officers who actually made that. It was a long-awaited project and some hurdles along the way, but we finally got through. Thank you to the engineering department, planning, everyone involved. I also attended the CEO review panel meeting, which I think a few councils thought that we attended, but that's okay because it was last year. The policy review panel meeting, which the minutes are attached tonight. The bi-monthly grants assessment panel meeting. I attended a few Christmas and end-of-year celebration events from the following groups: the Caroline Springs Seniors Fishing Group, Western Base, Caroline Springs Senior Group, Sunshine George Cross, and, of course, the Melton City Council staff. And what a great bunch of staff we do have, Mr. Mayor. Cannot speak highly enough of them. They are renowned all across Victoria. We've got a fantastic group of people, and kudos to the CEO and the exec team for leading that staff. I also attended Women in Sports Breakfast with a few councillors, and it's great to see the wonderful strides that this is that it's happening in women in sports. I attended a Community Learning Board consultation meeting, the Western Base, the Hot House project with yourself, Mr. Mayor. Which was good to see. Obviously, Australia Day celebrations and the citizenship ceremony kicked off the new year, and I'm looking forward to another great and productive year this year, and welcome back to everyone. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Councillor Medley. Councillor Mendes.
Well, I'd like to say Happy New Year to the remaining people in the gallery, all familiar faces, I must say. In January, I'd like to congratulate the City of Melton and the Melton Police for the wonderful Police Community Day they put on. I was absolutely amazed at the number of people that turned out, and they just kept coming throughout the day, even as it was getting closer to the finish time. The children were having a great time. I think the siren became rather loud in our ears, but the children were enjoying it. I think the actual messages of safety that they got across, and also in regards to the fact that they were giving out things to look at, you know, the screws that you put into the number plates to safen your number plates. I think that the community messages they were putting through were well heard, and I really appreciate their efforts, and I hope that they do some more of those events very soon in the community. And the Australia Day ceremony was very touching for me to watch a number of children actually celebrate their parents becoming citizens, and to watch the faces of those children, 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds, coming up to me and actually saying, "My mum and daddy are going to be citizens today," was really pleasing to see, and I think it means a lot to our young children, and I hope we keep that message going.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. My turn. I won't do them all, promise. I'll go back as far as Westwood Drive. That was a great opening. It was long awaited, and it was great to have it done at long last, especially for the councillors in the east. It'll take a few people off your backs. So it's been a while coming, and it's not been our fault that we couldn't deliver it. So it was good to see that done. Inner Dominion, can't forget the Inner Dominion, biggest horse race in the southern hemisphere. I'll just pick a few out. The hothouse project in December was followed up last week with the second hothouse project. They've got three different streams. I believe, Mr. Bean, you know all about that.
Two streams.
I thought there was a third one.
Are they the ones that didn't like it?
Oh, the other ones that didn't like it. There you go. If you're in the third stream, sorry. So that was good. Just seeing people being new ideas for businesses and this new project that's run through council. It's run through Bruce Marshall's team, Economic Development. Bruce Marshall and Christine, they're the main drivers of it, and they're doing a great job encouraging new businesses, or people have got ideas, might already have a business of some sort, but with new ideas, and it's a project that runs for 5 weeks where they get assistance from other people that can help them build businesses, from universities and various organisations that come in and help them out. So it's looking good. The Victoria Police Community Day on the 23rd of January was a really good afternoon. And of course, we couldn't go past Australia Day, 180 new citizens again. But I thought it was a really, really good day. The weather was reasonable. And I just felt very comfortable on that day. Went really well.
It was reasonable for you. You were in the shade.
Well, that's my job. The Football Empowerment Day was good. I only went for a couple hours just in the afternoon, but I'd gone all weekend and seemed like it was very successful. They're talking about doing two a year now, but maybe they'll get another one next year. It wasn't run through council. We were there, but it wasn't run by us. Inspector Cathy Rutkins has left after 4.5 years in Melton. Myself, Mr. Torrey, Councillor Ramsay and Councillor Medlick attended the morning tea farewell. She was sad to be leaving Melton, but she's going to work in the city now as an inspector, I believe. And yesterday attended the Titan Baseball Club match down at McPherson's Park. It was a bit hot. The first game was called off at three-quarter time, and the second game they did the ball up, but then they couldn't continue until the weather cooled down. So I don't think they were playing till 5 o'clock. Anyway, that's enough of that.
A clarification. Has council acknowledged and written a letter to Cathy Rutkins for her service?
That's exactly what I had to say.
And if not, could I move a motion that we do so? I can't remember if we did it in December.
I can't remember either, Councillor Medlick. We'll do it again. It's just in
case. Just in case.
Moved by Councillor Medlick. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Ramsay seconded. Does any councillor oppose? Declare the motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. That's
Ramsay's second.
Yes. Okay. 15.1. Yep. That's where we're going. Okay. Notice of motion 15.1, Councillor Medlick.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that council refer the removal of both roundabouts with the of full pedestrian and traffic lights at the following locations in Caroline Springs to the 2019-20 budget discussions, being 1, Caroline Springs Boulevard and The Crossing, and 2, Caroline Springs Boulevard and Rockbank Middle Road.
Thanks, Councillor Medlick. Moved by Councillor Medlick. Do I have a seconder?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to second that.
Councillor Bushy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? Declare the motion carried. 15.2.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I do have a notice of motion here. However, I am proposing an amended notice of motion, which I have given copies to all of the councillors and the relevant executive staff members. I'd like to move that an on-site meeting be organised with the appropriate council officers and the principal of Rockbank Primary School during the end of a school day/peak time to see firsthand the issues that are faced with safety around car parking, extending the invitation to all councillors, and 2, that council officers report back to council after working with the principal of Rockbank Primary School to outline how council can better assist in resolving the parking issues around the school which is the car park that is owned by council, including the consideration of a potential school crossing supervisor if deemed that the parking lot would improve safety for school children navigating the parking lot area / street.
Thank you, Councillor Meadley. Do you have a second?
I'm happy to second it.
Second by Councillor Cassidy. Does any Councillor oppose? Declare the motion carried. 15.3.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that Council refer to the 2019-20 budget discussion the all-weather shelters for the City Vista Sports Pavilion for both the northern and southern components of the pavilion facing the main soccer pitch.
Move by Councillor Medlock. Do you have a second?
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Second by Councillor Rendez. Does any Councillor oppose? I declare the motion carried. 15.4. Councillor DeSantis' motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move this motion for Councillor DeSantis. I'd like to move that Council officers provide a brief report at the next ordinary meeting of Council outlining the hosting of an annual conference family violence, with a conference or forum to provide an opportunity for other councils and service providers to attend and discuss matters around the prevention of family violence, and two, refer this matter to the 2019-20 budget discussions and consider allocating approximately $30,000 to $35,000 in the 2019-20 budget deliberations.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have a seconder?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by Councillor Medlock. Does any Councillor oppose? Declare the motion carried. 15.5, Councillor Ramsay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My motion reads that Council officers provide a report with an update on our advocacy to get traffic lights at the following three locations: Leakes Road and Melton Highway, Coburn's Road and High Street, Norton Drive and High Street.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a seconder?
I'm happy to second him.
Seconded by Councillor Cassidy. Moved by Councillor Ramsay, seconded by Councillor Cassidy. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? Declare the motion carried. 15.7. Councillor Debussy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. That Council officers explore options to construct a supervised pedestrian crossing at the New Burnside Primary School as soon as reasonably practicable, and report to Council by the March 2019 ordering meeting of Council. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Debussy. Do I have a seconder for the
Happy
motion?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Same with Councillor Medlock. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? Declare the motion carried. 50.8, Councillor Debussy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. That Council officers review the entire length of City Vista, Fraser Rise, Aspire Boulevard, Fraser Rise and surrounding roads where necessary to assess the need for traffic calming devices, pedestrian facilities and any other road needs to cater for the growing number of road users in the area. Council officers to report the outcomes of the review as soon as reasonably practicable. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Bushy, a seconder?
I'm happy to second it.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, could I just have clarification?
Yes.
Is this Westwood Drive? It's not Westwood.
No.
That's fine.
Moved by Councillor Bushy, seconded by Councillor Kessage. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? Put a motion carried. 15.9, Councillor Bushy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. That Council officers review the current pedestrian crossing facilities along Westwood Drive between Tenterfield Drive and Ballarat Road for suitability for pedestrians to cross Westwood Drive. Identified improvements to be referred to Council's Capital Works program for funding. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Debussy. Do you have a second?
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to second if Councillor Debussy would include at the end of that, including the specific area outside the Burnside Retirement Village.
Happy to include that.
Thank you, Councillor Debussy.
Move with an amendment. Moved by Councillor Debussy, seconded by Councillor Medlock. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? Declare the motion carried. 15.10, Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move that Council officers identify the most appropriate location for a signalised pedestrian crossing on Taylor's Road between Watervale Boulevard and Gourlay Road so members of our community will be able to cross the road safely, and that funding for construction of the crossing be referred to the 2019-20 budget discussions for consideration.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Moved by Councillor Carley, seconded by...
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Mendez. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. 1511, Councillor Ramsay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My motion reads, the Council allocate an additional $5,000 per month for emergency relief to be reviewed after 3 months. And during this time, Council officers use their best endeavours to ensure that providers funded by the Federal Government to deliver emergency relief in the West establish an accessible location in Melton.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to second, but I've got an amendment, if that's okay, please.
If Councillor Ramsay is happy with the amendment.
I'm just concerned that there's going to be a gap in funding. If we're reviewing it in after 3 months, then I feel like there's potentially going to be a gap where some residents might come in and not be able to get funding because it's in review. So I'd like to propose that Council allocate an additional $5,000 per month for emergency relief until such time as emergency relief in the West is established in an accessible location in the municipality, therefore bridging that gap.
You happy with those alterations, Councillor Ramsay?
I'm happy with those alterations as long as it's brought back to Council to be reviewed after 3 months. So it can continue on.
So can we suggest wording that it continues during the review period? So review in 3 months, but it can, the funding will continue during the review period for however long that takes.
And they're the words I will accept because I'd like it to come back to see whether
that's fine.
Okay, moved by Councillor Ramsay with those amendments, seconded by Councillor Bushy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Councillors, questions without notice. Councillor Ramsay.
This question is to the executive team. I've been waiting patiently for a report on the performing arts review sites. Could I get an indication of when that's going to come to Council?
Through Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to answer that. I expect that a report will be provided to the March ordinary meeting, so the next Council meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Mr. Mayor, I've got a question too, please.
Councillor Bushy.
In the last couple of days, I'm not sure about other councillors, but I've been receiving photos of dead ducks at Lake Caroline, and I'm not sure of the cause. So I think there's about five now in the last week. So I'm wondering if officers are aware of the situation, and if not, is it possible to put a message on Council's website to talk about the issue so that we're not receiving random photos of dead ducks?
The matter has not come to my attention, and by the look of some dismay on the executives' faces, I don't believe it's come. So it's going to be a bit hard to put a message on the website when we don't know anything about.
I'm pretty sure Les is aware.
Okay.
Les Stokes.
Follow it up.
Yeah, if that could be followed up and we could, even if it's a message to us and then we can inform residents, I'm happy with that as well.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, if I may just add, thank you. I received as well some of the photos, but I would like to add that God designed the stomach of the ducks to be fed by with the food which is not intended to be eaten, but like bread and all other stuff from the bakery. So probably we should do something on that plan too, to ban actually perhaps feeding of wildlife there. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question too, please.
Councillor Mendes.
I'd like to see.
Sorry, have you got an answer for that? Sorry.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, can I just provide a brief response to that issue? I am aware that at least one gentleman has been feeding the ducks bread extensively, so with bags of bread. There are a number of signs recently installed around the lake which specifically and explicitly discourage that from occurring, because that's not how ducks obviously are supposed to feed. They're supposed to feed in the natural environment. So we'll continue to monitor that, and if we need to have a further discussion with the gentleman or others who might be involved, we'll endeavour to do our best to educate them in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
I would like to seek a report, if possible, on the progress of the Diggers Rest Hotel and starting date of build.
through Mr. Mayor. Councillors will be aware that, pleasingly, a planning permit for the redevelopment of the Diggers Rest Hotel was issued last year, and that involved restoration of the key part of the Bluestone building, which, as you know, was destroyed by fire some years ago. The proposal also involved extensive other works, tourism-associated activities around the hotel, with the hotel as a centrepiece. I've heard, whilst a planning permit has been issued, works have not obviously started on site, and I'm not aware from the applicant as to when they plan to commence. They have 2 years under the terms of the permit to commence works and then a further 2 years to complete. So, Mr. Mayor, that's all I'm aware of at this stage.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Any further questions without notice, councillors? Motions without notice. Councillor Bushy.
That council formally subscribe to the Everybody's Home Alliance as a campaign partner and consider distributing a media release to all residents in the municipality discussing the key objectives of the campaign and how our residents can participate. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor.
Any other motions without Councillor Ramsey.
I have three, Mr. Mayor. And they're not as eloquently worded as Councillor Bushy's.
Why not?
Because they're just not. I know our gaming policy has been extensively reviewed over the last couple of years, but can we have a minor review to be brought back to Council within the next 3 months? Also, I'll give you a little bit extra time, with community consultation around no further pokies in council buildings, the hours around operation of pokie venues as starting points.
I think you had an opportunity to speak to that.
No, the rest of your motion didn't get up, sorry. Number two was... during our budget deliberations of 2019-2020, as unfortunately I won't be able to attend, I'd like to see favourable news coming back in regards to a performing arts centre in the township of Melton, a 5-court basketball court. These are all initiatives that I've put in to be heard, and I just want several roadworks and a slight increase to the pensioner rebate. And my third notice of motion, or motion without notice, and... Sorry?
No, this with a...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, in deference to my minute takers,
yeah.
I'd like a bit more prescription around that, which was... I don't mean to be offensive, but it was more around a discussion and less of a motion. What's the actual point of the motion?
It's basically that I wasn't as I want to make sure that these items are looked on favourably as an issue.
So what you're saying is that you wish to be referred to the budget, the following items.
Yeah, the Performing Arts Centre, a 5-court basketball stadium, the several roadworks that have been outlined on the minutes, and also a slight increase to the pensioner rebate.
Number three.
And my last one is, and Mr. Fairweather's going to have to help me with this, that we write to the state government, is it, asking for what bird?
Minor birds.
The Indian minor bird be declared?
Pest species.
Is it the Latin name for that bird?
A noxious...
Should be a Latin name, yeah, so...
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that Councillor Ramsey forms her notices of motion a little bit more eloquently in future.
I'm going by the seat of my pants. Obviously. I'm in light. I'm entitled to.
Councillor Ramsey, you finished?
Yeah, as long as those three are covered, that's fine.
Does any other councillor have any...
Well, I'd like to see clarification, Mr. Mayor, if that's okay.
The wording that we have for the final item was that council write to the state government seeking to have the Indian minor bird declared a pest species.
That's fine by me.
Done.
We're not experts in this.
The council right seeking to have.
Seeking to have.
Just the motion without notice, Councillor.
Okay, we'll talk about it next month. And one more. Melissa DeSantis basketball court, haven't we already dealt with that one?
No.
Clarification, it is a five-court basketball stadium at Cobblebank, so it's the Cobblebank five-court basketball stadium.
Oh, okay. It's not the one that Councillor DeSantis has been advocating for. It's a different one.
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for the clarification.
And it's also the one that I've been advocating for on budgets for the last 3 years. Thank you, Councillor.
Mr. Mayor.
Enough, councillors.
I didn't have the. Sorry, it is just about the bird that we talk. I think we should use actually Latin name for that bird.
Have you got a Latin name?
I can Google it. But
Councillor
Mayor, just speak up.
A motion without notice is not to be debated. So.
Yeah, you're correct. You're correct. We're
we
being
can
a bit
debate
slack.
It when he comes back to council.
We're being very slack tonight. I apologise.
Just slightly.
It's my fault. Okay, any more motions without notice?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
No, okay. Urgent business.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. I've been trying really hard between the miners and the Corellas.
Sorry. Councillor Mendes.
No Corellas.
Okay. My notice without motion has been kindly supported by David O'Connor, so I'd like to help him. So thank you for his words that he's put together to help me. That in response to a recent radio interview, which I wish I'd heard, Council write to Joaquin Wyman, the CEO for Public Transport Victoria PTV, and request that PTV address without delay the community concerns regarding the upgraded DDA-compliant toilets and waiting room facilities at the Diggers Rest Park and Ride Railway Station.
Thank you, Councillor Mendes. Does any other councillor have a motion without notice? No. Urgent business? No? Confidential business.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move a procedural motion that pursuant to section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated, items 19.1 to 19.7.
Ladies and gentlemen of the gallery, thank you very much for coming tonight, especially...
You can come
Mr.
back.
Mayor, point of order, I think
I'll
you need
us... I'll second that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry, guys. Moved.